Please rise. The portion of scripture that we turn our hearts to on this Reformation Sunday is recorded for us in Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 11. Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." This is the word of our God. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whenever I see a panoramic view of the city of San Francisco, there are almost always one of three noteworthy towers that catch my attention. The first tower is the Transamerica Tower. Like the Arch in St. Louis or the Space Needle in Seattle, the iconic shape of the Transamerica Tower is automatically associated with the city of San Francisco. The second tower is the Salesforce Tower, standing some 1,070 feet tall with 61 floors. The Salesforce Tower is noteworthy for not only being the tallest building in the city of San Francisco, but I heard that it is the tallest building west of the Mississippi. The third tower is the Millennium Tower. The Millennium Tower is noteworthy not only for the fact that it is the tallest residential building in the city of San Francisco, but it's also noteworthy for the fact that the Millennium Tower is both sinking as well as leaning. The Millennium Tower has sunk at least 16 inches and tilted at least 2 inches since its completion in the year 2008. While the cause for the Millennium Tower sinking and tilting is still up for debate, according to the Transbay Joint Power Authority, they say, "The only plausible explanation for the poor performance of the Millennium Tower is a completely inappropriate foundation for such a heavy structure." The sinking and the leaning of the Millennium Tower is a vivid visual example for us of how important it is to have a proper foundation for something tangible such as a building. At the same time, a proper, firm foundation is also very important for intangible things such as our faith. Today, my friends, as we look at this portion of God's holy word, let's see how it gives us a reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that the Reformation gives our faith a firm foundation. When I first saw that this gospel reading was the scheduled reading for the day that you and I are celebrating the Reformation, I was somewhat confused. I have preached Reformation sermons on Romans chapter 3, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. I have preached Reformation sermons on John chapter 8. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I have preached Reformation sermons on Jeremiah chapter 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. But this is the first time that I have ever preached a Reformation sermon based upon these words of our text. When we look at the context in which our sermon text for this morning is found, we see that as Jesus is talking to his disciples, he is teaching them. He is teaching them about the signs that will reveal that the end of the world is drawing near. Jesus and his disciples had just left the temple of the Lord in the beloved city of Jerusalem. As they were walking out of the temple, one of Jesus' disciples was so overwhelmed by the beauty of the temple of the Lord his God that he turned to Jesus and said, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." Do you remember how Jesus responded? Our Savior said to him, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." When Jesus and his disciples then got to the Mount of Olives and sat down opposite the temple of the Lord, we're told that some of his disciples came to him privately and asked, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" That is when Jesus spoke the words of our text for today. Here's where my confusion came in. As we look at these signs that not only reveal the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans, but signs that also reveal that the end of the world is drawing near, I wondered how these signs fit in with the celebration of the Reformation. Then it dawned on me. The signs of the end of the world dovetail very nicely with the celebration of the Reformation in that they reveal and expose false foundations upon which many people are building their faith today. We'll look at four of those foundations this morning. The first false foundation is false doctrine. Our Savior warns us, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many." Many people today seem to have a very naive attitude when it comes to religion. There seems to be a growing emphasis on being spiritual, but at the expense of being religious. When someone is religious, that usually means that they have a set of beliefs. This is what they believe. This is what they do not believe. When someone is spiritual, that usually means that as far as they are concerned, it doesn't make any difference whom you are following, and it doesn't make any difference what you believe, as long as you are following someone, even if that person is yourself. And as long as you believe in something, even if you come up with that all on your own. Everything is relative, we are told. Whatever works best for you is perfectly acceptable. As long as you don't hurt anyone's feelings, and as long as you give equal status to whatever someone else might want to believe. The Reformation application here is quite obvious. Any and every tradition of man that conflicts with or contradicts Scripture must be torn down like those massive stones in the temple at Jerusalem. Scripture and Scripture alone is the only perfectly acceptable foundation for everything that we believe, teach, and confess. The second false foundation is found in the bedrock of political power, civil government. Our Savior warns us, "When you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Since we live in such bitter partisan times, I don't want to go too far down this road. That discussion may best be left for Bible class, or even better yet, your dinner table at home. What I will say, however, is this. In my opinion, too many people base their sense of confidence on their civil government. Well, of course, we know that there is no authority except that which God has established, and we always want to remember, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. As Christians, you and I do not look to our civil government as the savior for all of mankind's problems, both physical as well as spiritual. Christ and Christ alone is our savior. He is the one who graciously provides for all of our physical needs. He is the only solution to all of our spiritual problems. The Reformation application here is one with which you and I are very familiar, the separation of church and state. The Lord God himself has given to civil government one overriding role. That role is to maintain peace and order in society. The Lord God himself has also given one all-consuming role to his church here on this earth. That role is to preach the gospel to all creation, to make disciples of all nations by faithfully administering God's holy sacraments and by faithfully proclaiming God's word in all of its truth and purity. The Reformation also reminds us that eventually, every form of civil government will come crashing down like those massive stones in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Only Christ and his kingdom will endure forever. The third false foundation centers on the created world in which we live. Our Savior warns us, there will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. I may be wrong, it wouldn't be the first time, but it almost seems as though people today consider Mother Nature or Mother Earth as being just a smidgen shy of being divine. It seems as though they look at this world in which we live as being the most precious thing that they will ever have, and therefore we need to make sure we treat it as the most precious gift that will ever be in existence. Not true. At least, not completely. This world is indeed a precious gift that our Creator God has graciously given to us. As Christians, we want to make sure that we do not ruin this gift by polluting the water, or polluting the air, or misusing the natural resources that our Creator God has woven into this world. At the same time, every earthquake, every wildfire, every drought, every flood, every hurricane, every natural disaster is a powerful testimony to the fact that this world, as we know it, will not last forever. One day it will most certainly come to a fiery end. And then, my friends, then our good and gracious Lord will give to us a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The Reformation application here is to remember that this world has awesome and as wonderful as it is. This world is not as good as it gets. One day, the entire universe will come tumbling down like those massive stones in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. For that reason, we cannot put our faith in this world or anything that is a part of this world. Our faith must always be focused on Christ and what Christ has done for us. The final false foundation that's highlighted here in our text is one that could easily catch us off guard. It's our family and our friends. Christ warns us, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. We love our families. We treasure our spouse. We rejoice in our children. We spoil our grandchildren. We have fun with our friends. But as many Christians have experienced down through the ages, sometimes even our family and our friends can be a source of persecution. For the people who originally heard Jesus speak these words of our text, openly confessing their faith in Christ as this world's only savior from sin, could have resulted in having them thrown into prison or even being put to death. That reality, my friends, still holds true for many of God's people all across this world. As important and as God-pleasing as our relationships with our family and our friends might be, we need to make sure that we do not put our faith or our trust in them. Our relationship with our dear Lord and Savior always needs to be the most important relationship that we have in our lives. The Reformation application here is summed up quite well in perhaps one of Luther's most famous hymns. We sang it this morning, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." In stanza 4 of that hymn, Luther taught us to sing, "The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." Now, my friends, how do these four false foundations tie in with our sermon theme for today? The Reformation gives our faith a firm foundation. Look at verse 11 of our text. After warning his disciples of the persecutions that they would face because of their faith in him, Jesus goes on to assure them, "Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." As Lutheran Christians, we strive to follow the example that Martin Luther set for us. Remember when he was at the Diet of Worms and he was told that he needed to recant of everything that he was teaching and everything that he had written? How did Luther respond? He responded with those well-known words, "Unless I am convinced by the teachings of Holy Scripture or by sound reasoning, for I do not believe either the Pope or the councils alone, since they have often made mistakes and have even said the exact opposite about the same point, I am tied by the Scriptures I have quoted and by my conscience. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither safe nor right. Here I stand. God help me. Amen." As Lutheran Christians, we believe, teach, and confess that the Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant word of our God from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. As Lutheran Christians, we take seriously what God has said to us in his word. "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." And in the Great Commission, our Savior tells us, "Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Our Lutheran heritage, my friends, does indeed give a firm foundation for our faith. Our Lutheran heritage keeps us from being tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Our Lutheran heritage helps to ensure that no one will be able to use these words in reference to the foundation of our faith. The only plausible explanation for the poor performance of the Millennium Tower is a completely inappropriate foundation for such a heavy structure. Praise and thank the Lord your God today, my friends. Praise him for your Lutheran heritage. Thank him that through the Reformation, He gives to us a firm foundation for our faith. To God be the glory. Amen.